Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sportsbook. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. Recently, I've been telling you about Chuck Norris and how he's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's his secret? Well, it's called Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. What does it taste like? Well, unlike other green drinks that taste about as delicious as freshly mowed grass clippings, this one actually tastes pretty good. Heck, if I can get it down, you can get it down. Just like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe today. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Got some good feedback on my video question regarding the Zabecast, and we've got Andy Poland coming up here in just a minute. But first, a quick thought about gambling. Barstool.com, barstoolsports.com, has a blog post up by a guy named Francis, and the headline is, "Am I the asshole for ruining a guy's bachelor party because he refused to play basic strategy and fucked up the cards for the entire blackjack table?" A tale as old as time. You're playing the game the wrong way. You're messing up the cards. The magic order and sequence of the cards at a blackjack table. That if you just adhere to basic strategy, that the dealer hands that appear to be bad hands will turn into busts, and the dealer hands that appear to be strong hands will turn into, wait, busts, I guess, or just not be very good. Whatever the case, he writes the following. It only took two hands for me to realize how fucked we were. On the second hand, the dealer was showing 10, and the guy to my right, let's call him Ron, short for moron, had 15. He waffled a bit, then decided to stay, saying, I'm not feeling it. He waved off the dealer, who was trying, wanting, itching to give him another card. I had a 12 or something like that, and I hit, obviously. I took a 6, 18, stand. That would have made 21 for Ron if he had taken it, and it was the card he should have taken according to basic strategy. Now I stay on 18, and the dealer turns over a 6. 16, we're golden. And then a 5 for a 21. Fuck you, Ron. The whole table loses, obviously, all because Ron wasn't feeling it. This is a tale as old as time. People who believe... By the way, this guy was playing poorly in the middle of the table. He wasn't even at third base. Which, by the way, even if you have a blind third baseman in blackjack, it still doesn't matter. Unless, and this is the only case, unless you are accurately card counting, very hard to do, a single shoe hand dealt deck, and that you have been at the table for at least a couple of hours, and if the count in that you have, accurate count, is extremely high because you've been playing long enough, a couple of hours, to see the extremes of, wow, the deck is really rich with face cards, and therefore the dealer showing 4, 5, or 6 means an obvious stand because there's a lot of paint sitting there waiting to be dealt out yet. That's the only way you can, quote, play badly and fuck up the cards at blackjack. But people want to believe what people want to believe. Or I guess I should point out, if you do have X-ray vision, and I'm not sure many people do besides Clark Kent, and you can see the dealer's whole card, yeah, okay. Then you can say, hey, dude, you're fucking up the cards on the table. Otherwise, shut up. Shut up and understand the basics of card playing and realize there is no such thing. But that's okay. I'm sure young Francis for Barstool is just getting into blackjack and he believes what maybe we all once believed early on in our blackjack careers. Let's get some feedback. This from my question yesterday of should I introduce video, entire video clips, or should I say whole episodes, for YouTube of the Zabecast. I gave you some of the concerns, the extra workload, and here was the overwhelming response. No. Do not do it. Don't need it. Don't want it. Not interested. Here's some examples. This one from, let's see here. Hold on a second. Okay. Charlie Weinman. He says, because you asked, I listen to 2 to 3 podcasts a week. Video would do very little for me. However, I do putz around YouTube every evening and watch various podcasts, Joe Rogan, Andy Roddick, etc. And if you were on there, I would watch it. But I agree with your assessment. It's likely not worth the hassle. Take care and go Buckeyes. Chuck in Dayton, Ohio. Thank you, Chuck. This one from Al Mazika, my friend in Tucson. Zabe, you sound just as good to me in the van, but I use hearing aids now, so there is that. As for video, I normally download the podcast to a flash drive, so for me, the less video you use, the better, actually. Okay. This one from Brent Kessing. No video podcast. I listen mobile. The video change would be 10 times as complicated, and you would go insane with the lighting and the angles from all across locations and the data management. It's a lot of work. And really, who wants to see your face? I agree, Brent, but you didn't have to say it that way. Justin M., podcast video. Hello, Steez. I personally don't need video. If it's available, then sure, I'll consume it, but that's my vote as a 1%er. Justin in Indy, Alecoin owner, mostly one percenter. Then there's this, Phil Colocatronis. Hey, Zabe, I hope you enjoyed the Outer Banks. I did. I've only been there once, but it was a great time. Very peaceful. Count me among your listeners that doesn't need a video component for your podcast. I like consuming it as audio-only entertainment. Have a good one, Phil, in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Daniel Huber, Disney lawsuit. Steve, did you just read an article or just the cliff notes on that Disney lawsuit? The restaurant in question isn't owned or operated by Disney. Disney just rents the building to them. Disney's not liable for the restaurant. I'm not going to go into details, but read the article. The whole thing seems very fishy to me, but I do agree with you on the lawyers. They're shitty. Dan in West Dallas. Thank you, Dan. You caught me. I did just read the headline, scanned it, and went with it. Should have read the whole thing, but I didn't. Then there's this. Stephen Fortney says the following. Steed is a phony with respect to Michelle Beadle. Zabe, I've loved your shows for over a decade, but you are way over your skis on Beadle. Let me describe a broadcaster in 2024, and you tell me if it's Michelle Beadle or El Baldo. One, injects personal views and political leanings into their shows. Two, chooses not to work for ESPN for personal and professional reasons. Three, makes a variety of content and is paid well for their work. Four, appeals to a certain type of audience. And five, stands for what they believe in unapologetically. If you guess Steez Zabin, you're correct. I wrote those in a way that described your current professional mindset while also describing Ms. Beatles. Here are some differences in the two of you, however. One, Michelle Beadle is a woman. Number two, Michelle Beadle leans left, you lean right. Number three, Michelle Beadle makes way more money. So after further review, and I do share your hatred of replay, why do you think you lashed out at Beadle on the pod on Monday? Thanks for your time, Stephen F. Okay, lashed out. There it is right there. See, I told you I couldn't just offer my opinion of I don't get it and what a fuck up this is without it being described as a quote unquote lashing out. Let me go back one last time and play for you her own description of how she ended up leaving ESPN. First of all, yeah, she's a woman. And she doesn't just lean left, but then again, I don't just lean right either. Ain't no leaning going on here. All right, here, let's listen one more time to what Beadle said.
Things were being allowed to happen. And I kept thinking to myself, you give me all this money. Shouldn't you defend me? Like, shouldn't you have my back? Internally, at the very least, you know, man, I don't expect much externally. And to not see that happen for whatever reason, that was my turning point, I think.
Okay, stop right there. This is peak, ungrounded woman think for you. Why aren't you defending me? People are saying bad things. You pay me all this money. Why? To scream like in Mad Men, that's what the money is for. Nothing else matters. They're saying mean things. You're not telling us you're great privately.
I think. And I remember there was sort of this feeling amongst the four of us on the show, Jalen, Chauncey, and Paul and myself, where we kind of felt like it was us against the world because it was just this constant, the New York Post with some article about how this isn't working. That none of these things were happening on our show. There were no problems. There was nobody being a diva, none of it. And instead of somebody from up top going out there and being like, this is all bullshit, so you can stop writing it or you can keep writing it, but just so you know, it's bullshit. That's our statement. Nothing, just silence.
Are you out of your mind? You gave me 20 ideas, and I picked out one of them that was a kernel that became that commercial.
So you remember?
I do. It was something about a cowboy. Congratulations.
No, it was something about a kid locked in a closet because his mother was making him wait for the floor to dry, which is basically the whole commercial.
It's a kernel.
Which you changed just enough so that it was yours.
I changed it into a commercial. What, are we going to shoot him in the dark in the closet? That's the way it works. There are no credits on commercials.
But you got the Clio.
It's your job. I give you money, you give me ideas.
And you never say thank you.
That's what the money is for. You're young. You will get your recognition. And honestly, it is absolutely ridiculous to be 2 years into your career and counting your ideas. Everything to you is an opportunity. And you should be thanking me every morning when you wake up, along with Jesus, for giving you another day.
And it's really...
It doesn't matter. They weren't going to engage in people speculating. It only brings attention to what they're writing about the show. It doesn't matter. Also, you're talking with three ex-NBA players. They have made 10x your money already, and they've probably lost 8x of your money. You're not amongst civilians. You may be friends with them. You may consider yourself a peer, but you are being wildly overpaid by John Skipper to the tune of $5 million a year for reasons only John Skipper really knew. You got to have a read on things as to your value. By the way, Beatle is now on SiriusXM. She does a show called Beatle and Decker, and she does something else. I think she does a DraftKings or a FanDuel show, and I'm sure it's great, whatever. She ain't making what she made at ESPN, though, not even close. And maybe she doesn't want to. Maybe she doesn't care to. Maybe she's more at peace not doing so. But again, the point is, when Stephen Fortney says that, you know, you choose not to work at ESPN for personal and professional reasons, it's not that I choose not to work there. It's that they wouldn't hire me. They long since left ESPN, the business of having dynamic, independent-minded radio personalities. That ended shit 25 years ago when they said to Tony Bruno, the best to ever do this format, yeah, we're going in a different direction. We can't control your opinions. We don't like some of the things you are saying. And I was there. I was at ESPN. I was offered a job. When I didn't have a job, a full-time job, I was filling in. I'll tell the story one more time. I've probably told it a million times, but one more. Fall of 1999, had been fired down in Charlotte, North Carolina, was filling in weekends, overnights at ESPN Radio. Tiny little studio, shitty little studio. This is when ESPN Radio was still in its fledgling days. And I was doing 4 and 5 hour shifts, overnights. I even fell asleep once on the air at ESPN Radio for a brief second, and I snapped to and I looked in terror at my producer behind the glass. I was like, okay, Mets 2, Phillies 1. Give me anything to get back on track here. Anyway, they offered me a job because I filled in a couple times on the morning show immediately after Bruno had left. And I filled in with Mike Golic, and I was a little bit too spicy for their liking. They kind of trimmed me up, but they still offered me. Len Weiner, who was the PD, offered me a full-time job. And I said, I don't know. I don't think so. You know, to move my wife and now newborn daughter up here, it just doesn't feel right. He was stunned. He was like, are you kidding me? You're turning down ESPN? But that was not for $5 million. By the way, and I wouldn't have lasted long because I knew they didn't really like my independent way of thinking and broadcasting. And so that's fine. But yeah, so Beatle had this job for which she was wildly overpaid, and it's a great job. It's a luxury job. You don't treat those as if they're just, you know what? Doesn't matter. Another one will come along soon enough. That is, and all because why? Because management didn't cape up for you. They're already paying you $5 million. Who the fuck cares?
Really hard. Like, I'm not a company man to begin with. But it's
well, okay. That's part of the problem. If you want the company money, you got to be at least somewhat of a company man.
It's really hard for me to play the game if that's how everybody's being treated. And so I
being treated. Out. You're making $5 million a year.
And I remember being in Portland during the Western Conference Finals, I guess. It was like this moment in the makeup chair. And I was just like, I don't think this is going to last much longer. I hate to say it because I loved doing it. But I was like, I don't like it.
You felt it. You felt it was dead.
This isn't it. We have contracts for reasons like that. When this is done, I want to be done. Figure that out. And yeah. Got my little buyout and left.
Yeah. Okay. So look, maybe she's happy now, maybe not. But it sounds like to me an emotional decision made in the heat of the moment that financially was a disaster because she could have killed it. But again, it's her career. She's doing fine now. I'm not ripping her, roasting her, or anything. I'm just pointing out it's a different mindset. Men don't do this. Men in the industry don't treat these jobs like this. They look and they see the landscape. They understand, hey, That's a former NBA player. He's made a shit ton of money. I haven't. What a job this is. In a way, I really respect Mike Greenberg, who's now being talked about as possibly the replacement to Sam Ponder on NFL Countdown, because he'll fucking do anything for them. And he's made a ton of money without having really that much pure talent. Not a very dynamic, interesting guy, but talk about being a company man. He's the ultimate company man. So while I've mocked it at times, deep down, I respect it because he gets it. And he will do whatever they say. You want me to host this? Okay, fine. And he has raked it in because these jobs are hard to come by. So it's not that I'm choosing not to work for ESPN. They wouldn't hire me. And television is for the pretty and those with hair. Better yet, those good-looking people with hair, preferably a woman, preferably a minority woman. Now you're talking, boom, you might make $1 million a year on television covering sports, which I would love to do. Don't have the hair. Don't have the looks, not a woman, and they know I'm an asshole. I was born into piracy. I knew a long time ago that I was never going to be on that TV level. So I'm a pirate. Aye, 'twas born a pirate, and I'll die a radio pirate. And that's how you want me. But anyway, Stephen F., Bowling Green, Kentucky, thank you. I respect the fact you put your name to this email, and I'm pretty sure you're a Democrat, which is fine. But no, the reason I ripped her, and I'm not really ripping her, I'm ripping the decision, is that it's not because she's a lefty. Plus, trust me, or a Democrat. There's a ton of those out there, and many of them are on this podcast, and it doesn't faze me in that regard. Okay, I hope that clears it up. Now we're done. Close the book. On the other side of this quick commercial break, this crass commercial break, which you could be avoiding if you were a subscriber, go to zabe.com/premium. On the other side of it, Andy Pollin will join me, including some interesting stuff regarding his Commanders/Redskins from Champ Bailey, Hall of Famer, when Dan Snyder took over the team. That's next. You're listening to the Zabecast. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, mybookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with mybookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At mybookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.
Hello?
My man, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. What do you know about this Little League Classic that they're playing in Cooperstown?
They played last night. It was the Yankees and somebody, Tigers, Yankees
right,
lost.
Right. Like, so this is how out of it I've been. Apparently this is the seventh year they've done it. Absent the COVID year. And I'm like, how the fuck did I miss this every year? I knew they used to play an exhibition game in Cooperstown. Then they discontinued that because the union bitched about it. But this is an actual game, right?
Right, right. But that's where baseball is on the radar, that this should be a big deal. And you do this for a living and you barely know about it.
Right. And when I heard them, you know, on ESPN, they kept saying, coming up tonight, you know, and they're showing the players for the Yankees. At the Cooperstown Classic, or the Little League Classic, I guess it is, not once did they set the scene of these two major league teams will play a game that counts in the standings at the newly refurbished so-and-so stadium in Cooperstown. Because I knew they didn't like going there because it was substandard for MLB, but they got some corporate money to fluff up the stadium, so at least it's good enough to play a game in. Never said that on 2 hours of ESPN SportsCenter that I watched on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, because whenever they talk about baseball on SportsCenter, the ratings tank. So,
but don't you think they should just do basic journalism? Like, look, we got to make sure to lay this out and explain to people who may not know what this is quickly. Just a one line, here's what it is.
Basic journalism. Bob Lee's not walking through that door.
Dick Shep is not walking through that door.
There you go.
All right. Andy Poland, how are you, my friend? How was Seattle?
Seattle was great. My son is now officially married, although the wedding is going to take place in November in Cabo. And something I was not aware of until about 6 months ago is if you get married out of the country, you have to go through an official wedding ceremony in the United States to make it official.
Okay, so in other words, he got it done ahead of time. If you get married literally in another country, are you now subject to their laws?
I don't know, but this was something I learned about relatively recently. So yeah, we all flew out to Seattle, and they had the ceremony inside the judge's chamber. The two families went out for dinner. It was
the
very nice.
The judge's chamber. That's it.
Oh yeah, no, because
very
yeah,
small, I mean, very humble. I love it.
Yeah. Well, the wedding is not going to be humble. The wedding is going to be very big and very expensive. Right. But, yeah.
Exactly. And you're not paying for any of it, Andy. Congratulations.
No. There's costs.
Really?
Yeah. I thought the
father of the bride paid for the whole Megillah.
Well, yeah, but there's the rehearsal dinner and there's flowers and other things. So it's more of a joint effort now.
All right. Well, look. Mazel, mazel, good things. I'm looking forward to my invite, and that should be great. So I've already blocked off the dates. What are those dates again, Andy?
Well, I know that you were not going to fly to Cabo in November for a wedding. So I spared you the need to
the,
say
the
yes,
need
thanks,
to go.
But no thanks.
Yeah, nah, can't do it. I'm thinking of going to Seattle for the Packer Seahawk game in December.
Yeah.
But
have you been?
A, I've never been to Seattle. Oh. B, I want to go into the cauldron's den of absolute devil worshiping Seahawk fans to face the 12s and to be at the scene of two of the most infamous and gut-wrenching Packer games in team history, one being the Fail Mary with Skeeter McBuzzcut, that dipshit referee, and the replacement refs that had the Fail Mary, the simultaneous catch in the end zone that they deliberated over and then gave to the home team. Sort of the modern version, I would say, of the Immaculate Reception. And then the collapse by the Packers against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, where they just, it was one disaster after another, and they end up losing the game. I want to go there. I want to see it. I want to feel it. Here's the problem. I don't know anybody in Seattle to stay with, and I don't want to try to find a hotel. And I also have no line on tickets, and it's going to be a hard ticket because Packer Nation travels. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, you, there was the Matt Hasselbeck, we want the ball and we're going to win. And
that was in Green Bay. I know that was in Green Bay. You're right. They've been daggered by us before. There's no question about that.
Oh, us. Us.
That's an us. Yeah, we got them. All right, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, they got daggered by the Packers. I was not an us then, okay? I was still a Redskin fan. Also, they obliterated the Seahawks in a snow game in the playoffs that was just magical. Up at Lambeau Field, but yes.
Well, I happen to know someone who now has a 2-bedroom apartment in Seattle, who has known you since he was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and might be able to hook you up with accommodations. I can't tell you about tickets, but if you are looking for that, he does have an extra bedroom.
Okay, so. And again, I wasn't going to ask Andy. Because, you know, I don't like to tread, I don't like to clomp on things, but that could be amazing right there. That would be fun to see. So I guess now I got to try to figure out if I can find tickets. Snowball game, 2007 NFC divisional playoff game where Favre and the Packers start out slow. They fell behind, I think, 14-0 on a couple of turnovers, and it looked really grim. Let's see here. Yep, 14-0. And then they just turned it on. And by the time the fourth quarter came, the most heavy snow was falling on Matt Hasselbeck, and the Packers are on their way to a big win. 35-20. Let me see what the final score is to YouTube. 42-20, your final score, as the snow kept falling. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, look, I did walk by the stadium. It is a great-looking stadium, and it's a great complex. The baseball stadium and the football stadium look like they're about 10 feet apart. I mean, it's really amazing. Yeah. It's not even like, you know, in Baltimore, they have the baseball and the football in the same lot. These two are really right up against each other.
Right.
I really enjoyed the public market, you know, where they throw the fish. I thought that was great.
Okay.
And the climate. Now, here's something for you.
Yeah.
You'd like the climate. It's pretty much in the 70s most of the time.
Yeah, but it's cloudy and it's
rainy.
Yes, more than any other North American city.
We saw one rain shower. I think the rain thing is overrated.
Really? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, all I know is when it's cloudy around here now, I get very cranky very quickly.
I know. So yeah, you like your Arizona like sun. Weather.
Not just the weather. I don't, you know what? Now that it's cooled down a bit here in the DMV and the light is different where you can get sharp shadows because there's not as much summer haze anymore. Mm-hmm. It's invigorating, Andy. And maybe the approaching football season has gotten me all a tingle. I think, would you not agree that the slow descent into fall and winter is a wonderful time of the year weather-wise?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah. I love the month of October. That is a great weather month.
Cooler, crisper days steadily as it goes. In the upper Midwest, it's so weird where it'll be summer up until about the third week of September. And then it's like, okay, it's a wrap. Get out. Everybody get out. Like it turns so hard from summer to hard fall and quick winter in the upper Midwest. It's totally different. And well, people up there are used to it. If you're not, you're not. Okay, let me get to the business of the day, and that is your Washington Commanders. They're on a heater right now as Jaden Daniels, who has looked pretty good so far in the preseason, is scheduled to be the 8th straight different starting quarterback for week one in the National Football League. Is there another record quite like this?
No. And it indicates the dysfunction that this team operated under with Dan Snyder. So, you know, that shouldn't shock anybody that it's been that many. And they, you know, they reached the point where they just couldn't even get quarterbacks. So they're propping up Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, yeah, well, he should be good for a while. Lasted 16 plays. You know, Carson Wentz, they spent the whole summer saying what a great guy he was, and he sucked, you know, so this is what you get.
So let me go through the progression. 2017 was Kirk Cousins, his last year in DC. That begat Alex Smith, who promptly broke his leg and nearly became one-legged Alex. Kudos to him for an incredible, heroic comeback to play again, which I thought was insane. Case Keenum, who was a complete stopgap in 2019. Dwayne Haskins, the may he rest in peace, the way overdrafted personal handpick of Dan Snyder because he went to prep school with Snyder's son. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the ultimate sort of journeyman. Hey, you know what? I think he'd be good for us. He broke his leg and was done.
He broke his hip
in the first game, right?
Yeah, 16 plays.
16 plays. First game done. Carson Wentz, who is being sold as there's still something left in this guy. Narrator, in fact, there was nothing left in Wentz. He was terrible. Sam Howell, the plucky third rounder from North Carolina.
Fifth
rounder from North Carolina in 2023 last year. And then Jaden Daniels this year. I mean, the Browns jersey of shame that used to be displayed in that downtown window with all the names of their different quarterbacks on it, they ain't got nothing on the Redskins / Commanders, do they?
Oh, no. Well, look, Wentz, that was such a terrible situation in that they had to trade draft picks for him because they knew if he was cut, which he was going to be by the Colts, he'd go someplace else. Nobody wanted to go there. And then last year.
And they absorbed a big salary with him as well, if I recall.
Two teams took big hits. Well, the last year of his deal, I think it was like $28 million. But
that's not a lot of money.
But
you're saying paying Carson Wentz $28 million and giving up picks to get him is not a big deal.
Well, that's yes. But the point being is that that was the last year of the guarantee on the deal. And
but still, you had to pay him, though.
It wasn't a good idea to get him. I agree with that.
The Redskins paid him like 28.
It was the worst salaries thing that they ever had to deal with.
All right, but the football team had to pay him the $28 million, correct?
Yes.
Not the Colts.
For the 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a terrible deal right there.
it is, yes. Yeah. Unless he reverted to, you know, rookie Carson Wentz or second year Carson Wentz, and then, they got a bargain, which is what they were trying to tell you. And the same thing with Sam Howell last year when the team was being sold. They weren't going to spend any money on a quarterback, so they said, he looked good against the Cowboys. He completed 11 passes. Never mind the pick six. We think he can be really great. And turned out they had an offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, who we now understand why he couldn't get a head coaching job, because they threw the ball more than any other team in the league.
and did not have Patrick Mahomes and or Tyreek Hill on that offense. All right.
Exactly.
So I understand that young Mr. Daniels was going out of bounds and decided to lower his shoulder to show what a tough guy he is instead of just get out of bounds. And Dan Quinn has already had some words with him on this. And this was what a lot of people red flagged him on coming out of college at LSU. He willingly took and got debacled, as Emmett Smith would say, on a number of hits in college, which, yeah, you can survive those. In the pros, though, they'll break you. Just ask RG3.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And at his news conference today, Daniels was asked, do you practice sliding?
And for the first time since... Do you remember this with RG3, the practice sliding? And they set up sliding mats to teach him how to do it. Oh, my God.
Right. But he said, and usually he doesn't give long answers, but he usually gives a few sentences. His answer was, no, I don't. Meaning, don't insult me by asking me that question.
Right.
Now, when RG3 destroyed his career by being that kind of guy, Jane Daniels was 8 or 9 years old. So I can understand how he doesn't, understand the context of it. But this is the National Football League. They play 17 of these games, son.
Yeah, that's the only thing that worries me. I think the kid is really talented. I think he's a way better passer than RG3. But if he's going to be a passer, he's got to focus on that, because he'll be RG4 if he runs around and ends up getting dump trucked. Because RG3 didn't just get dump trucked by Haloti Ngata that blew up his knee, but there was another hit RG3 took at the goal line near the right pylon against Cincinnati that was even worse. Yeah. And you're like, dude,
no,
this is Sunday football. They'll kill you in Sunday football.
And Griffin used to do another thing, is he'd go towards the sidelines and kind of like hang out looking for a late hit.
Yeah.
Dope.
Have we talked since they fired RG3 and Sam Ponder?
I have not. And here's my thought on Griffin. What they did to him is worse than firing him with cause, because they're going to pay him for 2 years and they're not going to allow him to be on the air with anybody else.
Ed Werder situation, right?
Yeah, but Ed Werder could survive not being on the air. This guy is trying to make himself into a brand, and the thing that you can really hurt him with is not pay attention to him, because he's like in your face all the time. And I think that was the reason that ESPN got rid of him. I don't think it was they gave
money.
Him like a 4 or 5 year deal. How many years was he on the air with them? 2, 3?
It was not nearly the full run of it. I said that his television career ended for the same reasons that his football career ended, that he's just too much. He ends up being too fucking much for people to deal with.
Yeah. And he wants everybody to pay attention to the RG3 brand.
I know.
And then he'd do all these interviews and saying, I got 6 or 7 years left to play in the NFL. I saw him with Dan Patrick, and Dan Patrick said something about world-class speed. And Griffin's, and he said, do you have world-class speed? And Griffin said, yeah, I do. No, he doesn't. No.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's some interesting audio coming out from Champ Bailey. This is on the Dominique Foxworth podcast, and he was asked, when did the culture change and how fast did it change in D.C. once Snyder arrived? Here's the clip.
Snyder bought the team, I think, after your rookie year, right?
No, he bought it before my rookie year started. Well, if you understand the process of, ownership transition, it usually doesn't happen till right before training camp, where the new owner's announced and then they have their transition process. Well, Charlie Casserly drafted me in the first round in 99. Well, they didn't have that transfer of ownership, or at least he wasn't announced as the owner until after I was drafted. So I was never one of his guys. So you got to think the next 5 years, especially the last two, I'm trying to negotiate a new deal. Well, the unwritten thing, the thing that you don't really see is, he's not one of the guys. He didn't draft him. There's no real previous investment in him. Forget what I had done up to that point. It was just all about relationships and things like that that really mattered at the time, when really it should have been about my play. And, that's why I was traded.
How fast did the culture change once Snyder sort of got his hands on the team?
The moment he took the stage. So I want to say I can remember vividly our first meeting, and he just said something just wild, like, you know, I'm a prick. That was like his first sentence. And I'm like, what difference does that make? Like, you know, and I'm a rookie, so I don't really know what to compare it to, but I do know good leadership when I see it. And usually bad leadership shows up a lot sooner. And that's just what I saw. And yeah, I think the next 5 years, it just got worse and worse because we didn't do anything. We went to the playoffs my rookie year and didn't go my next 4 years. So it was evident that we didn't have the leadership that was going to breed a winning culture in D.C.
Wow. So there you go. First meeting, I'm a prick, says Dan Snyder. What exactly did that achieve?
Well, he was 34 years old. He knew absolutely nothing about being an owner in the NFL. And here he gets in front of players who, some of them are just a couple of years younger than him, you know, maybe a couple of his age. And he's going to try and look tougher than them. And I guess his message was, hey, look out, rest of the league. I'm a prick. You know, he's going to take on the Jerry Joneses of the world and, you know, other owners who've been the Maras, all those people. I'm a prick and I'm going to take them all on and I'm going to win. And people must, and the players must have gone, what a schmuck.
Right.
What a stupid schmuck this guy is.
Overcompensating for his own insecurities because he was a hustler who got his enough money to start to be able to buy the team. And he really out hustled and outmaneuvered John Kent Cook and whoever else the third suitor was for the team at the time. And so because of that hustle and because, you know, he was willing to engage in some shady business practices like phone slamming to make his money, that you're right. When he comes in as owner, he's got to like pretend like he's this Barney badass at 34 years old. He didn't have enough experience, maturity, or just self-confidence to go, okay, you've won the race. You own a printing press. You own a gold mine known as an NFL team. Slow down, start implementing best practices on how to win, and everything else will take care of itself. Instead, I'm a badass. Let's make some moves. Let's go trade for Jeff George and Deion Sanders or sign them. What a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Dan Snyder and he kind of backed into being the owner, because remember, he was with the Milstein brothers.
That's right.
The third guy. And the league knew about the Milsteins. They wanted no part of him. And
they were total crooks. The Milsteins were total crooks, right?
Yeah. And so I think one of the owners, I met him, might have been the Maras, came to Snyder and said, look, you're local, you're young, get a partner and we'll approve you. And that's how he got into the league. Now, most people in that position would go, okay, I'm an owner now. Where do I find out about being an owner? The internet was just getting off the ground at that point, so you couldn't Google being an NFL owner, but you might want to talk to some people who own franchises in professional sports before you get up in front of the team in your $2,000 suit and say, I'm a prick, you know, watch out, NFL, here I come.
This is the first full off season leading into a season with new ownership.
So right. And and he was not approved until the end of May. So the draft had already taken place and Champ Bailey had already been drafted. And remember that some of the deals that had been made brought in Brad Johnson as the quarterback. And Snyder asked, can we rescind the deal?
Yeah.
Because he didn't make it.
Right. Of course, I'm saying right now, though, under your new owner, this is the first full off season leading into the first full season for Harris and company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Well, he was similar. He was even a later approval. He was July of last year.
Right.
So Snyder was May.
Well, look, I want the Commanders to have an absolute crackerjack season. As I used to say to you and Kevin Sheehan, let's go have a season.
Yeah.
And I want Jaden Daniels to be a star. I'd love to have the name and logo back. And if they ever do or come close, then maybe I'll come back. But I want you guys to have a good season. All right. I need that to be known for those listeners out there going, when are you coming back? Come on. Water's warm.
You guys, the estranged member of the family, you guys.
Sounds weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. This one's funny. Apparently, now that NFL players are lobbying to be on the flag football teams that could be in the Olympics, because it could be an Olympic sport in 2028. I'm not sure if it's been approved or it's being rumored to be approved soon. But Tyreek Hill and a couple of the guys, current players, are like, shit, I'll play in that and we'll carve it up. Well, apparently, some of the U.S. members of the current Flag Football Federation are saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't just assume that NFL players are going to be better than we are at flag football. And I nearly choked up my Cheerios, and I wasn't even eating Cheerios at the time going, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You ever play like pickup basketball or pickup football and somebody brings his
a real athlete
or somebody who's, you know, played Division I something.
Yes. All it takes is a real athlete who played at any real level, like Division II even. Yeah. And you're like, fuck, this guy's really good. What the hell, man?
You go, whoa, he's playing a different sport than I'm playing. And so, I actually had a high school teammate who was a good high school athlete. He played football, basketball, and he ran track. And he was part of, I think, a national champion flag football team. So, you know, that's the level of athlete that's winning that. And NFL players are not going to be able to compete with these flag football guys? I don't think so.
I just found it hilarious that one of those flag football guys had the nerve to speak up in an interview going, whoa, whoa, who says he can just replace us with them? Shut up.
They can, believe me. Right. These are world-class athletes.
If the NFL approves it and or the teams that have these players under contract for big money approve Tyreek Hill playing flag football against Romania or whatever in the Olympics, then trust me, you're out. You're out. You're out for Micah Parsons, Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, and anyone else that wants to fucking play.
Yeah, but, you know, the NFL, it's interesting. You know, do they approve those kind of things? Because a guy can tear an Achilles playing flag football.
Fuck yeah, they can. They can tear an Achilles working out. I think it would come down to the teams, not necessarily the league. I think the league would be happy to showcase their stars. And I guess it would be theoretically safer than playing just, you know, a single NFL game where you're being tackled. But I think some teams would be like, nah, we don't want that. Of course, the Bucks were not happy that Giannis decided to play in the Olympics, and he actually carried Greece by himself pretty much into the medal round, which was pretty amazing. So, anyway. All right. Lastly, Phil Donahue has passed away. Only 88 years old, which I say just because, not that that's a great ripe old age to live to, but that, goddamn, he seems like much more of a relic from a distant TV past. Talk show host Phil Donahue, who was so accurately spoofed by the late Phil Hartman on SNL. I sent you a clip of one of those skits. And what is it about Phil Donahue that you liked, if you liked him? Because I've got my theory.
Okay, well, number one, the reason you might not like him is he was liberal.
No, I do like him. And I understood he was liberal. But there's clips of him talking to conservative economist Milton Friedman that basically lays out some very basic, you know, economic principles that are now not considered kosher by one half of the electorate.
Right. Well, he first of all, he was the first TV talk show host to really appeal to women. And he wasn't really, you know, a sex symbol or anything. But I read he had at one time about 9 million viewers a show and 8 million were women.
Wow. Because his show was Oprah, on in the afternoons, correct?
And she went, I'll take those. I'll have what he's having. Right. And his show ended in 1996. So he tried to come back briefly with MSNBC. I think that lasted a year. But his show has been off the air for 28 years. That's a long time.
I thought he was outstanding in his ability to fully immersively interview and interact with his guests.
I don't think anybody has done that, where he goes in the audience and he has his microphone and he puts his hand on his head and he goes, I'm thinking that. He was good.
His gesticulations were so amazing that when he would hear somebody describe something that was troubling to him, like in the skit on SNL where Jan Hooks, God, I miss Jan Hooks. She was such a dime, middle-aged dime she was.
Phyllis Sykes. You've had a string of degrading relationships.
Yes, I have.
Now, your last boyfriend got drunk, totaled your car with you in it, which left you in intensive care for over a year. And during your painful convalescence, he never visited you. He withdrew your life savings, spent the money on other women, held orgies in your apartment, got you evicted. And yet I understand you still live with this man.
Well, you would really have to meet him. You know, David is like, he's like a bad little boy.
And she's pretending to be like, well, my boyfriend, he did this and did that. And it was really bad stuff. And he's like leaning into his microphone up to his forehead in disbelief. Like, oh God, I can't believe it, woman. What are you doing here? That's what made Phil Donahue so good. And his show was on at what, 3 p.m. typically?
Well, it depended. It was syndicated. Some stations ran it in the morning.
Okay.
I remember, I'll tell you one thing. Here's a memory I have. I used to watch it because I was working nights at UPI in the 80s. And so I would get up about 9 o'clock and watch the show. And I remember one day I got up like 15 minutes early, turned it on, and learned that Len Bias had died.
Whoa.
So yeah, that's my Donahue memory. Not a great one, but that's one of them. Yeah.
I seem to recall watching Phil Donahue in the afternoons after I got home from school back in the day, but maybe I'm thinking of who is the predecessor to him. Not Mike Wallace. Who's the guy, similar talk show guy, Tiger was on his show.
Oh, Mike Douglas.
Mike Douglas. Yeah, Mike Douglas. Yeah. The Mike Douglas show.
That was more of an entertainment type of show. Phil Donahue dealt with issues.
That's true. That's true. But Mike Donahue show. I remember that as a kid. That was
Mike Douglas. Yeah, Mike Douglas had an afternoon show.
But, well,
I mean, he was and he was married to his second wife for 44 years, Marlo Thomas.
Wow. A dime piece there, huh?
And that was his first marriage. He managed to have 5 kids. So his second marriage lasted 44 years. I don't know how long his first one lasted, but he must have spent a lot of his life married.
Yeah, I'd say that the second marriage is lasting longer than the first ones. That's an under bet right there. That usually does not happen, right?
Especially with a Hollywood person like Marlo Thomas. You know, it wouldn't seem the two public figures would last that long together, but they did.
Yeah, and do not Google Marlo Thomas currently, because plastic surgery has not been kind to her. Go Google the early pictures of Marlo Thomas, and you'll be like, all right, now that's an all-American gal.
That girl, baby. Oh, that was when I was a kid watching those reruns. Yes, sir.
She was indeed that girl, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Danny Thomas's daughter, and she was... She was like, actually, she was the precursor to Mary Tyler Moore, that she was dating Donald, and eventually they got married, but she was a career woman at a time when women on TV weren't like that.
Yeah. That Girl, American TV series, it ran from 1966 to 1971, starring Marlo Thomas as Anne Marie, an aspiring but only sporadically employed actress who moves from her hometown of Brewster, New York to make it big in New York City. She has to take a number of offbeat temp jobs to support herself in between her various auditions and bit parts.
Yep.
All right.
Ted Bissell was the boyfriend who she eventually
Ted Bissell, Lou Parker, or Bernie Capel was also on that show. Bernie Capel.
Later on The Love Boat.
Famously played Dr. Who was he on The Love Boat?
I forget.
Dr. Adam Bricker. Dr. Adam Bricker on The Love Boat. Yeah, there you go. Classic television from back in the day from two old fucks, me and Andy. You're welcome, people. You're welcome.
Well, not only that, but the fact that we know The Love Boat so well tells us about the social lives that we had.
All right, Andy, as always, a pleasure, and thank you for the potential hookup of a room at your son's place in Seattle for the Packers-Seahawks game. We'll see if it actually happens.
Okay, well, I mean, let me know, and I can check with him if you'd like. And
make your preliminary.
In fact, he'll probably learn about this by listening to this podcast.
I know.
He's a regular.
Well, thank you. Yes, preliminary ask, and let me see if I can put the pieces together. All right, my buddy. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Set a course for adventure. Your mind on a new road. anymore. It's an open smile on a friendly shore. It's love. Welcome aboard. It's love.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.